I have a really hard time like sitting down and like writing a song. I have to do it in little bits and pieces or else I get overwhelmed.
My guest today is Isabel Pless. She's a folk singer-songwriter and began sharing her songs on TikTok out of boredom during the pandemic, resulting in over 100,000 followers drawn to her unique style. Isabel has been writing songs since she was 12 years old, creating music that's sometimes uncomfortably vulnerable, but always beautifully authentic. Isabel studied linguistics at Wellesley College in Boston and is now living in Nashville, showing what it means to be a modern folk artist. She's released 5 EPs, a live album, and many singles, and her latest release, Practice Erotic, is out now. So thank you so much for taking the time to do this.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. So as I was just saying before the interview, I came across your music on TikTok, as over 100,000 people did. I think a lot of us had a phase during, especially during COVID, that was just like heavy into TikTok and heavy into like, I did a lot of sharing my songs on TikTok around that time, and I feel like I've since given up in a way, but I came across your music and I don't know very much about you as a person or your journey, that got you to where you are today in songwriting and in music at all. So I'm really excited to hear more about your life. So can you tell me how you started writing?
I think it happened kind of naturally where I started taking guitar lessons in middle school and I was like 10 or 11, and then a lot of what we were learning was like pretty simple chords and stuff, which make up a lot of like common singer-songwriter type songs. And I was really curious about the writing process, and also I was like really into Taylor Swift at that time, as a lot of
Oh
us.
yeah.
I was like, I
Which
want to do that.
album was popular at the time?
I think it was right before Red came out, so right in the 2012 time period. Anyway, I just was really inspired by like young female singer-songwriters, so I wanted to try songwriting, and then I started writing. So yeah.
Nice. And so you've basically been writing ever since.
Yeah, a lot of it was just for me, like all throughout high school and college, I wrote music kind of just on the side, not really the center of what I was doing. It was mostly school, like that was my main focus. And then songwriting was more of like a cathartic journaling activity that I was doing for me. And then it didn't become a career path until TikTok.
Right. And then it became obvious, this is, I'm good at
Yeah,
this. This is what I should be
then
doing.
things changed. So, yeah, this is not what I thought I would be doing.
Right. And so you were studying linguistics at Wellesley, correct?
Yeah.
And so, in a way, you've always been a writer aside from songwriting. Like, you've always been drawn to writing and language and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, definitely. I was really into poetry in high school. Like I would do poetry competitions and stuff. So that was more what I was doing at that time. And then in college, I was an English minor and then a linguistics major. So a lot of what I was studying was like language and then also like composition.
Nice. So it kind of just built a bridge to the path of songwriting.
Yeah, I was like inadvertently studying songwriting.
Yes, yeah, poetry or lyrics, absolutely. Have you ever adapted your poems from high school into songs?
I haven't. They always felt really different to me. I feel like I've written poetry and songs about the same like experience or thing, but I have never like turned a poem into a song or vice versa.
Interesting. They seem different to you.
Yeah, they feel very different to me, or the creation of them feels really different. I just think there's like in music, there's obviously the like the melody and the lyrics and the composition piece, and then poetry, it's like all language. So
Right.
I'm thinking about different things when I'm doing.
Yeah. That's interesting because I haven't written tons of poetry, but I have written poetry and I have always thought that it's kind of similar, but then when I read back my lyrics or read back my poems, they do feel extremely different in the structure and in the way that they come out, you know. So,
Totally.
I like to ask every guest, do you remember the very first song that you have ever wrote?
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember like all the words and stuff. It was like a heartbreak song, which is funny because I was not experiencing heartbreak at 12, but it was like a replication
I
of
can
a
relate.
heartbreak.
I can relate. It's like I'm so
Yeah. Yeah,
lonely.
I was like, I'm in sixth grade.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah, I think I wrote a song when I was 12 called Cry about like a
So
heartbreak of
straight to
being
the
in
point.
love. I was like, I've never kissed a boy before. I've never touched anyone intimately. Do you remember what it was called?
I think it was like hard in a box, like something like really kind of a little bit abstract.
I like that.
And it wasn't first person. It was like there was a girl and there was a boy and they were in love. It was, which is interesting, honestly, I feel like as a first song,
Yeah.
but yeah.
I love that. And so you were writing songs casually throughout high school and college, but like you said, it wasn't your main focus. And then was it TikTok that really kind of launched you into the
Yeah.
career path that you're on now?
Yes. In high school, I think I was like, I played around with Vine and stuff. Obviously, that was hard as like you're like writing songs, like it's 6 seconds. Nobody's really that interested
Wait, like
in what you've written for Vine.
you posted some of your songs on Vine, like 6 second
Oh yeah.
clips of your
Oh yeah. 15-year-old me posted 6 second clips of my songs on Vine.
I love that.
They didn't do very well, obviously. They also were not very good songs, so that also plays into it. And then junior year of college, I started posting on TikTok mostly just because I was bored and wanted to see what would happen if I posted something on TikTok.
So, were you surprised at the result?
Yeah, very. I was not expecting that. I don't know. I don't really know. I'm not sure what I was thinking. Like, I wish I could go back and be like, what was the thought process of posting that? But yeah, way more attention than I was expecting.
Okay, because that was another question is like, did you plan to start posting TikToks, or was it just like a kind of spontaneous, like, I wrote the song, I might as well, you know,
Yeah,
jump on the TikTok
totally
train.
that. I had like a huge back catalog of stuff that I'd just like written over the years. And I just remember I posted one that got like, I had like 200 likes, so it probably had like, I don't know, 7,000 views or something. And then all these people started following me, and I was like, I guess I should probably post more, right? Like, that's probably what they want. And then it just kept getting like bigger and bigger and bigger. So not at
Wow.
all what I was expecting.
And was this like 2020, like peak
Yeah, this was
pandemic?
end of 2020. So it was like peak TikTok For You page era sort of singer-songwriter stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you just popped up on my For You page, and I think that probably like a lot of people, I was just instantly drawn to your conversational lyrics and like aggressive kind of it the juxtaposition of like how sweet and soft you are in your music and as a person seemingly, and then you just being like, I hope you're not doing well, or like that. It's so captivating to find someone who is writing songs in a different way. That's really refreshing.
Thank you.
So I'd imagine that that's the experience that a lot of people had. And yeah, so I'd imagine you were studying at this point online, right?
Yes, yeah, I had Wellesley shut down where, so for the rest, I got sent home halfway through my sophomore year. So I did the rest of my sophomore year online, and then I did all of my junior year online. So I'm from Vermont, so I went back home and I was doing it like out of my bedroom. It's
Right.
horrible.
Oh my God, that sounds awful. I'm very lucky to have not had that experience, although my brother was studying in Boston at Berkeley as well and had that same experience of like having to move home and then, oh, it was
Imagine
terrible.
music school online is productive or fun.
I know. And he's a drummer, so he was doing like I'm like, how do you do a private instruction through Zoom on the drums? It's, I don't know, you gotta get creative about it. Anyway, so I guess perfect time to be sitting in your bedroom and writing songs and sharing them on TikTok.
Yeah, it was the prime time of that.
So do you think that having that experience and having people and followers on that platform, did that inspire you to write more? Or did it, like, what were the ways that you found that your songwriting changed through that experience?
Yeah, it definitely did. I think it made me think more about not necessarily like what people wanted to hear, but like what would be appealing in the sense of like what's relatable and what is like a common experience, but like what is a unique take on a common experience. And I think a lot of what I was experiencing as like a 20-year-old stuck in her bedroom doing online school was like very relatable to everyone during that time.
Yeah, absolutely. And then did you learn anything about yourself and the kind of audience that you draw in through that
I mean,
experience?
yeah, I think it was a lot of people who were like me. Like, it was a lot of young women, a lot of, or I mean, just young people in general who were feeling really isolated. And, I think I write like inadvertently sort of about mental health, like not directly, but, and I think that that had a really huge, that was a huge piece as well, was a lot of people like feeling like they were seen or understood. And then I also felt seen and understood by people listening. So,
Yeah, I feel that a lot of your lyrics are almost like satirical comedy about like mental health. Like I've been listening to your music a lot lately to prepare for this, and I like it's funny, but not like even your TikTok handle is like everything hurts, man, right? I didn't even realize that. I'm like, it's just like a lot of being kind of self-critical in a completely open and vulnerable way that people can relate to. Like I even wrote down some lyrics that I heard that I'm like, oh, this is actually me. Like she's describing me in describing herself. And I think that that's it's comforting. It's like you said, especially in a time where we're all like trapped in our houses, like examining our lives. It's comforting to find someone who can relate on that level and isn't afraid to say like hilariously uncomfortable things about their mental state.
Thank
It's
you. I appreciate that.
very refreshing. So how has your personal relationship with songwriting changed through, kind of just doing it on the side and then having this TikTok profile blow up? And like, have you developed a stronger relationship with your style of writing, or has your actual style changed through that experience?
I think that I think I've learned a lot about myself as a writer in terms of how I operate, and that I have a really hard time like sitting down and like writing a song. Like it has to be like I have to do it in little bits and pieces or else I get overwhelmed. And I think that was really good to learn, is to like hold myself to a standard but not like put pressure on myself to like do or be a certain thing that I'm not. And
Amen.
also, I think that I've learned to experiment more than I was before because there was no reason for me to previously. Like it was all just me like word barfing, and now I think there's value in like me trying new things and like pushing myself. So I think that moving from like this is a hobby to like this is a career, maybe take it more seriously and also like really understand that you need to like push yourself a little bit
Yeah.
to get better.
To continue to grow. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm curious what you mean when you say writing a full song is overwhelming to you and you have to do it in bits and pieces. It's like, what does that look like?
Well, oftentimes when I post on TikTok, like the length of the video clip is like all that I have written. Like the I don't write a full song. Like I write a verse and a chorus and then I sit with it. And if I like it, I'll come back to it. And if I don't, then I don't, because I don't like I'm just sort of gonna write a bunch and see what sticks. And then if it doesn't, then I'm not gonna finish it, which is kind of maybe not the best strategy for everyone, but it works for me.
No,
So
I think it's like the test thing of like, skip it and come back to it and see, if you love something, let it
yeah,
go.
exactly. You skip the question, maybe the
Yeah.
answer will come to you. Yeah, exactly.
I like that though. I also write verses and choruses, but I don't have the excuse of like, oh, I'm just gonna see how it feels and come back to it. I just get stuck.
Yeah.
And then I forget about it, and then I find it like 3 years later. I'm like, oh, this is interesting. Maybe I should.
I mean, that's kind of the joy of it, is like maybe you don't like something at the time, and then you come back later and you're like, I can work with this.
I found that in talking with so many songwriters, we all have this common thread of like starting a song or even completing it, and maybe completing it, recording and releasing it, and then years later coming back to it and realizing how you can relate to it so differently. And so I find that when I write, even if it's like a line or two, I'll write it and then I'll find it 1 or 2 or 5 years later, and I'm like, oh, this actually means this now. Or I didn't understand it then, and now I understand it, kind of thing.
Exactly.
So do you feel like you have found your voice as a songwriter and as an artist? Do you feel that you're in the process of developing that, or do you feel comfortable about how you're presenting yourself and the songs that you're currently working on? Like,
Yeah, I do. I think I've always, and it's funny because I think a lot of times maybe confessional songwriting can get kind of a bad rep, but I think that that is what I've always leaned towards. So I think it was more like accepting that that is what I like writing and what feels really comfortable, and accepting that my stuff is gonna be really honest and confessional, and people are going to know a lot about my internal thought processes. But yeah, I think once I accepted that, I was able to like really honestly get better as a writer and also like feel more comfortable with myself as a writer also.
are you that type of person, like personally? Are you very confessional and like super honest and
Not
satirical?
really. Well, like, I mean, certainly not, just like in general. I think with people I'm close to, yes, I think the version of me that is coming off of my music is the version of me that I am presenting with like the people who I'm really close to. So it's kind of funny that like all these strangers are seeing like this really personal side of me.
I'm like, I feel like I know nothing, and also everything about you. You loved a blonde boy in high school.
So it's just kind of funny, but it's like it's funny that this is my job and it's so personal.
I honestly love it, and I don't know why I haven't heard the term confessional songwriting
Oh,
before
really?
this
I
moment.
feel like I saw a clip of Joni Mitchell being like, I hate confessional songwriting, like blah blah. My songwriting isn't confessional, and I was like, mine
Okay.
is, I think. Yeah.
She's like a confessional songwriter in but just in like a very metaphorical way. Like you have to, I guess maybe that's not confessional songwriting, but if you read between the lines.
I think people are gonna have their biases, and
Yeah.
that's okay.
I guess I've always just described it as like conversational lyrics. Like it's funny actually, yesterday I was sitting on the couch with my husband and I was going through some of your lyrics and just reading them, and there was, I forget which song it was, but one of the songs, like the first verse, I read it aloud to my husband because I was like, this just sounds like I'm having a conversation with you. Like it's not even like, and I don't mean this in a negative way at all, but it just, it's not even really structured as like a typical verse, you know? I don't even think like the last, it was like a 6-line verse and the last line didn't even rhyme with anything, but it was like it feels so comforting, and just like when I'm listening to your music, it just feels like you're sharing something with me, which I'm very drawn to stylistically. Because I'm very lyric focused as well, as I'd imagine you are as a
Very.
linguistics major. But I don't know, it's very refreshing in, and but I also do love songs that are like, you know, Rush lyrics, for example, are like
Right.
complete, like they don't make any sense, or like Alt J, where it's just like, you know, but we have to have both. And I really love it. So do you, when I was mentioning earlier how your lyrics are funny, do you do this on purpose? Or do you think it just comes out?
I never purposely sat down and been like, this next line is gonna be so funny. I think
It's
that
gonna be so funny.
I can think of several times where a line has come to me and it's made me laugh out loud. And so those are the ones where I'm like, that has to go in. Like, it's when I'm like, that's stupid. Like, I'm like, that's going in. Because if it's weird and stupid and I laugh out loud, I'm like, that's has to go in. Like,
I love
I
that.
think anything kind of that catches people off guard, or when I'm writing it and it catches me off guard, that's catchy and hooks people in. So yeah.
Yeah, I feel that a lot of those things are also like, you're such a modern songwriter, being like a young person in this kind of new era. Even the single that's like parentheses close friend's story or something, I'm like, I feel old, like I feel like a boomer. I'm like, any, I'm like an old crotchety man that's like, I don't even sometimes like when people reference like iPhones in songs because I'm like,
Right.
oh, it's whatever.
Oh
But
my goodness.
yeah, but I think it's so refreshing as well. I realized that verse that I was just talking about, I wrote it down, and can I read it?
Yeah.
It's from Jude Law, which the first verse, I thought Jude Law had ruined love for me because they wrote him too well in The Holiday. Didn't know what else to blame for my high expectations, so when anybody asks, that's what I say. And my parents are so in love, it's disgusting. Had a meet cute at a sleepaway camp, got engaged after only 6 months of dating, and have been obsessed with each other ever since. Like, that's incredible. it sounds like you're just sharing, you know? It sounds like we're just at a cafe and you're like talking about your parents and a movie you saw.
That's so funny. That's so funny you said that. I literally wasn't thinking that at all when I was writing it, and I think, I don't know, I'm happy it comes off across that way. And I do think hopefully people are drawn to it in the sense of like it does feel so like we're just talking,
Yeah.
because especially something like that that's kind of silly and goofy, it's like something you'd chat about with your friends where you're like,
Yeah.
hey, remember Jude Law on
Yeah,
the
exactly.
Holiday?
And it also makes me want to watch The Holiday, and it also does remind me that they did write him too well. Like
Yeah,
we
it's
have
perfect. This
You
movie.
know, it's layered. There's depths to this.
Yes.
They write men too well in these movies, and then we have high expectations and they consistently let us down. And you know, there's so many ways to write that concept, but I love the way that you just present it at face value.
Thanks.
So, can you tell me about your new single, Cactus
Yeah.
Erotic?
I wrote it in August. It was funny because I started the line like I took in like a tonic, which is the first line of the song, and I was trying to put it in something else, and I was like, actually, I want to save this for something else. And I was just thinking about my journey with specifically like romance and like love and relationships, and I really struggled with figuring out who I was like all the way through high school, college, up to like kind of recently. And so I just never was able to really see a side of myself that was romantic. And I've been in a relationship now for 7 months, and it's awesome and amazing, and like he's the best. So I don't know, it's just really like it's a song about letting yourself be in love, and also maybe that your expectations are like a little bit different than like what things aren't always. I don't know how to say this, like talking around
Yeah,
it.
no, I understand. And I think that experience of figuring out and really struggling to realize who you are as a person, to me, just describes being in your early 20s. And, you know, sometimes in my experience, I navigated that around being in a relationship because I've been with someone for so long. But sometimes that can be also really uncomfortable because you love someone, but you also don't really know who you are. And I'd imagine that when you are able to take that time for yourself and really like understanding and shaping who you are as a person, then you can enter a relationship in like a more secure way.
Totally. And I think I just had so many preconceived notions about like, this is what it's going to look like for me. This is what
It's Jude
the
Law.
timeline of what's going to happen. Yeah, Jula. Timeline. This is like what it's going to feel like. And I think part of growing up and also learning about who you are is realizing that like what you thought was going to happen is not always what's going to happen. And that can be like a really good, awesome thing also.
Yeah.
So
It's a hard
that is,
lesson though.
harmless.
That just
That's what that
continues
song's about.
forever. Awesome. Well, I really like it. My favorite lyric is tried to super glue my feelings to the first guy who wanted me.
Thank
I'm like, can relate,
you.
check.
Yeah.
Like, give me attention.
Little there. Yeah.
So, when did you move to Nashville? Did you move recently?
Yes, I moved in July 2022. So I guess it's not that recent, but I graduated college in May 2022 and then I moved here. So it's been like a year
Nice.
and a half almost.
And what's your experience been like? Are you liking the community there?
Yeah, I like it a lot. I think what I was looking for was a place that I could do music full time. And I was like, well, it's either LA or Nashville, and I don't want to move all the way to LA. So
Absolutely.
I'm gonna go with Nashville. And it has exceeded my expectations. It's great. I think the community here is so strong, and I have found it's very welcoming. Like people are always looking to meet other writers and also like help each other out. So it's been great.
Yeah, I think after living in Nashville for a few years, my take on it is that it is a big city, but it feels like a small town
Yes,
kind of
very much
thing.
so.
And, you know, there's so many people that are doing the thing and trying to make it and trying to, you know, that's probably one of the only places in the world where people are really trying to, especially songwriting specifically, really like there's a lot of competition. But then I think that, you know, it can, if you're really good at it, like that really shines through the mediocrity. So
Yeah,
what's
I think the standard is so high here that it's just really inspiring to be around people who are so good.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you been, are you kind of exposing yourself to the like co-writing scene there?
Yeah, a little bit. I think honestly, a lot of the writing I do for my project is alone, but I think co-writing is such a different experience than writing by yourself. It's been really cool to like form connections that way and also make art in that way. Yeah.
Yeah. And it can be uncomfortable.
Can be very
But in a
uncomfortable. Yeah, I think nobody talks about it. It's so weird to walk into a room with people you've just met and be like, here is all of my trauma.
Yeah. I mean, in a way it's like a safe space, but
Right.
it's such an interesting job to have where you're like,
Yeah.
nice to meet you. I got broken up with last week
Yeah, I'm
and
so sad right
I'm so I might cry in the session.
Yeah.
But
Yeah,
like you said,
exactly.
the standards are so high, so you can just be lifted up.
Right.
What's your favorite thing about living in Nashville, like musically?
I mean, I love that it's everywhere. Sometimes it's a little bit annoying. Like you fly back from somewhere and you walk to the airport and it's like some guys playing covers in like
There's
an
guitars
airport bar and
everywhere.
you're like, oh my God, I'm back in Nashville. But I do love that it's the center of the city, and I think that's so cool to have a whole city like based around music. I've never lived obviously anywhere like this before, so
Yeah, it's pretty wild. It's fun when people come to visit and then you take them downtown
Broadway,
to
yeah.
Broadway and you're like, I never come here.
I never come here.
This is so cool. It's just music blasting from every
Neon
corner.
lights, country music everywhere. Yeah, it is funny. It feels like I'm living in two separate cities sometimes, where it's like there's Nashville with the neon lights and like Blake Shelton, and then like Nashville, little
Then there's like East Nashville.
songwriter Nashville.
Yeah, I think that's what makes you realize that the town is so small when you like find your people and then they know people that you know and
You know
it just
everyone, yeah, it's
becomes
just one
one
big
big
circle.
happy family.
Yeah,
What is your favorite song that you have ever written
ew.
and why?
That's a good question. I think Practice Ironic is up there, but also I'm always inclined to like be obsessed with the one that just came out. There's one that isn't out yet, so that's kind of not super helpful for reference, but it's called Isabel because I wrote it for myself, and I was like, so I'm going to name it after myself.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And thanks. And it's just about like the first line of the chorus is, you don't have to be good all the time, and I think the whole song is just like a reassurance in terms of you're allowed to be a human being. So I think that'll be out next year, pretty
I love
soon-ish.
that. I love that. Going easy on yourself.
Very, which I'm not
That's,
always good at. So
yeah.
who is?
Yeah, I was
I
gonna say, not me.
don't know. Yeah.
That kind of reminds me of I don't know if you watch Gilmore Girls, but
Yes.
it's like when Lorelai names her daughter Lorelai. It's
Yeah.
like, this is my song. It's called Isabel.
Yeah, I'm like, I want to use that.
That's amazing. And what about out of, well, I guess you just answered my question, but out of all the songs you've released, do you think Practice Erotic's your favorite?
Yeah, I think like Bechdel Test will always be special because that was the one that really, I don't know, made me be able to like move here and have a career in music. Yeah, and also I have a song called Little Life that's like really a really mean song, and that's kind of out of character for me, and that was just a really cathartic one to write.
Yeah, I remember I have a song called Heal that it's not like really mean, but I don't think I'm a very like mean-spirited person, so some I guess I felt comfortable to write like that because I'm not really like that. Like I would never say these things to somebody's face, but it felt like safe to write lyrics. But the first lyric is like, when I said I love you, I wasted my breath. And I feel like it's like that's so vicious, but in a way, it's like one of my favorite songs and one of my favorite lyrics because it's like pushing the boundaries of who I am as a person. And like I said at the beginning, you're such like a soft, sweet, sweet, sweet person, knowing what I know about you. So when you say like, you know, there's one song where you're like talking about, I think a guy you dated in high school, and you're like, I hope you're not doing okay, or like it sucks to hear you're doing well or something. But it's like, I hope you walk in alone and I hope that I don't, or you know, it's funny.
Very much so. I think, and I don't know, I'm always like I try and be as, I don't know, open-hearted, and like I think kindness is underrated as possible, but also like everybody has resentment, and I think that writing songs that are honest is more important than like being a nice person all the time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes it's healthy to just get it out, you know? And I'm sure that there are far worse ways than writing a song, you
So
know?
true.
You could
Much
like punch
worse.
someone in the face instead, or, you know, more people should write songs. That also reminded me, what is a Bechdel test?
It's
I was wondering if I should look it up before the interview as I was listening to that song, and then I was like, you know what? I'll just ask.
So I guess it wasn't created by her, but the comic strip writer Alison Bechdel, I think it was her friend, came up with this test, that was, if a movie has two female characters that are both named, who speak to each other at least one time about something in the movie that is not a man or like related to like a man's life, then it passes the Bechdel test. And I think it got called, like it got labeled the Bechdel test because Alison Bechdel put it in her comic, but it wasn't really her that came up with it. Anyway, that's
Okay.
what it
That is
is.
hilarious. That my brother just recently sent me something on Instagram that was like l it was like S Lord of the Rings, but the all of the scenes that female characters interact with each other, and then it was just like one scene,
One minute
and it's like
long.
a mother saying to her daughter, like, let's go, and then the scene's red as well. And it wow, that's I didn't know that the Bechdel test existed, and I'd imagine that so many movies and TV would not pass it.
Well, the thing I always say at my shows is the song is about the movie Cars, because I was watching the movie Cars. Okay, so there are, because people have fought back on this when I've tried to be like, Cars doesn't pass the Bechdel test. There are two female characters that are both named, and they do talk at one point in the movie, but it's during like a court scene that is about Lightning McQueen. So I'm like, I don't. Like, it's about him, really.
Does it still count if they're not real and they're cars?
The thing,
Like,
is I'm
are
like,
cars really
why do
gendered?
cars have gender? I don't understand.
Yeah, like
Why are there boy cars? I don't know. But anyway, that
that's
was the
hilarious.
inspiration.
Interesting. Wow, I'm gonna go on a deep dive after this, I can tell. That's hilarious. I wanted to also talk to you about, and this is just like because I have a personal connection to this, but your song Eldest Daughter is me. And I am the eldest daughter, and there's specifically a some lines that go, caffeine and praise like wind in my sails, trying and failing to quit biting my nails. Is me. Hello. Hi.
You.
So I wanted to ask you, the first line is, I'm back on my eldest daughter bullshit.
Yeah.
Can you describe to me what you, how you would describe eldest daughter bullshit to me? Or like eldest daughter syndrome. What does that mean to you?
For me, it's the headspace of trying to fix everyone else's problems. Which I feel like I'm guilty of sometimes.
100%.
Yeah, I think I'm the eldest daughter. My mom was the eldest daughter. Her mom was the eldest. So I'm like, it's a lineage at this point.
generational trauma.
We have bonded over it. And yeah, I just think there's a certain responsibility that comes with like being the oldest kid, obviously, but also like the eldest daughter, you're like the caretaker and you look after everybody. So a lot of it is like caretaking is the focus.
Mm-hmm. That is so interesting. As you're saying that, I'm realizing my mom was the eldest daughter as well. And basically like raised her brother, you know,
yep.
Exactly. Kind of thing. It's so relatable. The older I get, the more I realize that it's a thing.
Yeah, very much so. I know.
And yeah. I think TikTok has also shined a light on that. Like I saw a video the other day that was like, hey, oldest daughters or like older sisters or whatever, like, what is it like to like carry everybody's weight on your shoulders? I'm like, what?
What? Like, oh.
Oh.
What'd you say?
Sorry, what? Oh, that's hilarious. That is so funny. So are there any songwriting techniques that you are currently hyper fixated on?
Oh, wow.
I like to ask this question because I feel that songwriters, or maybe it's just me, but go through phases.
Yeah.
Like continuing something over and over again.
Gosh, I wish I had a great answer. I feel like I just like sit down and try and like get it out. I don't even have a strategy. Not really. I think what I've been trying to do more is like break out of the same, I have like the same six chords that I use. And I've been trying to like mess around a little with where the listener might think the melody or the what direction the song is headed in, and then kind of do a bait and switch and like do something else,
do the opposite.
I don't know, because I think that I can fall prey to like doing the same thing over and over and over and over again, so I'm trying to break out of that, but I don't have a good strategy. So if you have any tips and songwriting tricks you like, then let me know.
I'm currently hyper fixated on, well, I guess maybe this is not a phase, but just rhyming way too much. I think, I don't know if you're this type of songwriter.
A good internal rhyme, just like over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, it's like, well, we can do an internal rhyme.
Yeah, we can. So, should we? I don't know.
So, I mean, we might as well. Probably should. Like, just finding words that have nothing to do with the song, but
yeah.
Yeah, just rhyming all the time. I think I have like a pretty severe OCD and I'm very attracted to symmetry, so
yes.
But my husband challenges that. He's very the opposite. He's
like, that's good. Let's, you have to have someone in we want. Your life, whether it's like a partner or a friend or mentor, be like, what if
what if you didn't?
What if you didn't do that? Yeah.
Do you find that your lyric writing is heavily influenced by the studying that you've done on like language and English? And
yeah, I think a lot about vowels for some, like I think it can be really satisfying to have a lot of similar vowels like in one phrase, or a lot of similar Sounds like I have a song called Family Tree where, God, now I'm not gonna remember what line. I was like, every woman in my family last child was. I'm only 20, but I know the way the world can string you up, like the W's. I think that's really appealing to me. Having
Yeah.
a repetition of like sounds is very appealing to me. Anyway, that's what I think about a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Having alliteration in every line
Yes.
unnecessarily is something that I
Yeah.
also do.
Right.
Like, well, it's just
Yeah.
for fun that way.
Yeah, definitely. I think more abstractly, we learned a lot about like connotation in linguistics, or like what something actually means versus like what the connotation of something is, like what's not being said when you say something,
Oh,
or like what's being implied. And I
or
think
how
that's
someone
useful.
could take it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I think that's an interesting thing to think about in songwriting also.
So do you consider that with all of your lyrics?
I think so. I mean, not all of them, but sitting down and going over the lyrics again and thinking really hard about like the intention behind words is important to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Words are powerful.
Yeah, very much so.
I think that's why I like them.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
They're so powerful. Although, also I have this juxtaposition, like just in my life when even just speaking, like I try to, as best I can, live by the Four Agreements book, which is what is the one that's like be impeccable with your words, which I don't do a very good job of, because I think that words are really powerful, but at the same time I also don't want to be the person who's taking every word to heart and taking everything personally and then letting that
Right.
affect me because they're only words, like sticks and
Yeah.
stones kind of thing.
Right.
Kind of strange to ponder, but anyway, side note. I wanted to also ask you about, because you have such a history and presence on TikTok, how have you found the experience of connecting with users and like connecting with your audience and comments, and has that affected your self-confidence at all, or do you find that it's just like a beautiful, healthy, welcoming kind of community?
If only. I think I've had to really separate myself from who I am online. So, like, the version, I keep saying the version of me, like the me that is presented on my TikTok page is sort of one side of me. And then, there's a lot that I keep private. And so, like, that helps when I'm thinking about comments and feedback and stuff to know that like the feedback being offered is not about me as a person. It's about like this one, thing that I'm putting out on the internet. And also positive feedback is awesome. Feels great. I think you have to work really hard to like still maintain a sense of like being humble and normal, because like nobody should be able to receive that much positive attention, like I don't think ever.
Yeah, it is kind of
And
strange when you
also,
think about it.
yeah, it's weird. It's like you really have to be like, okay, whoop, we're separating from that feeling. And then also the negative feedback, similarly, it's like you have to take it with a grain of salt of like everybody has opinions, so
Yeah.
yeah. So I've done a lot of work on it.
Yeah, I'd imagine it's strange. I don't have as great of a presence on TikTok, but even one comment will like set me off, or somebody
Yeah.
taking something in a way that I didn't mean for it to be, or people can be vicious. So I find that, yeah, you gotta kind of, like you said, take it with a grain of salt, or just don't even give it any energy.
Right. Yeah.
So I'll end the interview by asking the same question that I ask every guest, which is a two-part question. And the first part is, what advice would you give to your younger self when it comes to songwriting or music or your career? And then what advice would you give to your future self to keep in mind?
Honestly, to my younger self, I think it'd be like just keep doing what you're doing. Like, I think that I was so self-conscious about things that were just like part of being a young person, not knowing like where they were going or what they were doing. And I think if I could just go back and be like, you're doing okay. It's okay. Keep writing. It's gonna be fine. I think getting better comes with experience, and that is what I would have liked to hear when I was younger.
Yeah, like staying on track and just not feeling like you always have to be kind of zigzagging in different directions. And if something isn't working or if something isn't happening as quickly as you would have liked, sometimes I think just, I agree, staying on track and just continuing to do what you're doing, because you'll always get better if you just keep doing it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's like there's nothing you need to be doing. You're already doing everything that
Yes, you
you need
think that you need to
to
be doing something specific or what you're doing is not the right thing. And unfortunately, that kind of lasts throughout your 20s.
Totally.
As someone
I
who's
love
in their
how
late
this is
20s and
applying to
is
me right now.
still having that experience.
Yeah. My older self? I don't know. I feel like I just want to just pummel my older self with questions. I want to know what's going on. Think really hard. I don't know. I guess I hope I just don't lose sight of like how special it is to be able to do this as a career, or like to be able to have people listening. I think that that is something I lose sight of sometimes, and that is such a incredible, like what a privilege and what an amazing thing to have. So I guess I would say don't lose sight of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. None of my guests have said that, and I wholeheartedly agree. And I think we can get so caught up in like numbers and industry and am I doing the right thing or do people care and all of this stuff. And then even having the smallest experience of one person connecting to a song at a show or one person sending a message saying, I really like this. Like, I added this to a playlist, or, you know, even those things stand out as like such an incredible privilege.
Yes.
And it's really hard to forget that people do care,
Yeah.
you know?
Completely.
Agreed. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. What's the best way for people to support you?
Well, you can listen to my music on all streaming platforms under Isabel Pless. You can come to my shows. I don't have any right now, but I always post about them on my Instagram, which is Isabel underscore Pless.
Awesome. And go listen to Practice Erotic and also definitely listen to Eldest Daughter, personal favorite. Also, really like Burnout. That one is,
Thank you.
anyway, I'm a fan.
Thank you.
Well, thanks so much, Isabel.